welcome back to Canquium, home of Canada's Queen Medium. My name remains Luke Smith.
And I'm a Libra.
You are a Libra. This is true.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think I am. My birthday is actually at the end of September. Everyone assumes. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I don't even believe in that stuff. I don't know why I said that. I'm Sebastian. How do you do?
I am doing okay. Now, I have a very important piece of news. Our long-term listeners to Canqueer, home of Canada's Queer Media, will know that every May there is an occasion that really just makes our year. It is when we wander away from Canadian content with quite vigor and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. We see your requirements and we raise you. No. It's time for Eurovision.
Yeah. I was going to say, does this have to do with Europe and for some reason Israel, Azerbaijan, and Australia?
Yes, the famous European countries of Australia and Israel. Absolutely. No, that's... I'm glad you mentioned that. No, I have a Eurovision Song Contest story. Now, the finals generally happen in May. Uh-huh. Most people don't get really anything happening until earlier there. So I believe the next country to be hosting it is going to be Sweden. Mm-hmm. And that is after Loreen became the first person to win the song contest twice. Bringing it back to Sweden again. It's going to be in Malmo. And the finals are taking place on the 11th of May in 2024. Mm-hmm. However, Belgium has decided that now is the perfect time to... They're like, okay, we're fresh off of Eurovision 2023. Let's just immediately announce who's going to compete in Eurovision 2024 on behalf of Belgium. And that is the Belgian drag race judge... Musti is going to be competing Belgium. So a Belgian actor and singer is always very, very well established in Belgium and, of course, by extension, across the US. Folks, our Canadian listeners may recognize Musti because our very own Rita Baga out of Montreal is one of the other judges on the Belgian Drag Race, so Drag Race Belgium, I suppose it's called. Drag Race Belgique, I think it's the actual phrase. I just thought I'd share with you that Belgium has already announced their Eurovision contestant. Not that I'm following it like a hawk, but I certainly am keeping a keen interest. Now, we have a whole bunch of other international news, not a huge amount of that sort of jumping up to the top, but I think you saw something coming out of Lebanon.
Yes. It's a very fresh story, so the details are... it's kind of fresh, but it's also kind of old. There has been a shift over the past 10 years in Lebanon with regards to their relationship with the LGBT community. So for quite some time, Israel and Lebanon both had a reputation for being pretty gay-friendly tourist locations. But recently, there was a shift in the political output for some reason, where they are starting to... it's at the political level. It's not necessarily laws being in place yet. It is politicians starting to talk about rainbows, gay movies, LGBTQ identities, a lot of the terminology as being sort of like anti-Lebanese and not welcome within the country. Now, I think this is the old problem that you always have to dig into. And because it's so new, it is very difficult to find information. Because if you remember years ago, there's that story out of Iran where the then president of Iran prime minister said there were no gays in Iran. And then later on, it turned out that was a translation error where he said basically there are homosexuals, but gay is a Western phenomenon. We have our own thing going on. I don't know if this is an anti-Western thing or if this is an anti like homosexual and like I don't know at what level we're looking at. Is this culture or is this sexual identity? There is news coming out from Beirut that this may or may not turn into law. There's a lot of pressure from Iraq, apparently. I really wish that it's so weird. This is on sort of like a politics watch level at this point in time. And it's not really, I don't know. I wish I could give you more. But anyway, there was Article 534, which is in the Lebanese legal system, which did decriminalize LGBT identities. And they were thinking about overturning it. And that's basically it. It's kind of a short story at this point in time. I'd like to tell you more, but it's sort of an update.
Well, there was I have a bit of a small story. Well, maybe not small. It was an interesting story because I think we've seen a lot of rhetoric come up, but this is perhaps the best example of it sort of crystallizing into a clear response. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Queenstown Lakes District Council?
Queenstown Lakes
District Council.
No.
So the Queenstown Lakes District Council in New Zealand, they recently had some graffiti painted on the side of one of their churches. Not churches, on the side of one of their libraries.
Okay.
And the graffiti said child groomer or child grooming was what it is. And the mayor of the Queenstown Lake District Council, Mayor Lewis, issued a statement. They, you know, really talking about how right now they're celebrating Pride in Queenstown, at the lake in the Lake District, and how this aligns with a whole bunch of what they do. You know, they do some things with sports, and they go on so on and so forth. I'll read a quick quote here, and the quote goes: "As mayor, these values are of great importance to me. I am extraordinarily proud to represent all of our community, regardless of race, gender, disability, religion, or gender and sexual identity. Council's commitment to the Pride Pledge goes back several years, thanks to our former Mayor Jim Bolt. It is one aspect of how we strive to reflect the diversity and promote tolerance across all members of our community." He goes on to say, It has therefore been saddening to see a small voice in our community that has chosen to try to undermine and derail these events and question council's commitment to inclusion and representation. However much these people feel they are well-intentioned, vandalism, particularly that which is organized, premeditated, and carrying divisive sentiment, will not and cannot be tolerated. Neither will direct threats to our staff or the people freely giving of these time to enable these events. Whether it's defacing or ripping down posters, trolling social media, hiding or stealing books that don't align with your personal views, or spray painting offensive statements on or around council facilities, these acts do not reflect the outlook shared by the Queensland Lakes District Council, myself, or I strongly believe the vast majority of the community. He goes on to say, a recent spray-painted claim that one of Council Rainbow's reading sessions was, quote, child grooming, end quote, is in my view bullying and bigotry masquerading as concern about the extreme sexualization of children. I was initially hesitant about including the specific wording of the graffiti, but I think it's important on this occasion to be upfront in order to provide a full explanation of why, on behalf of thousands of others, I oppose it. And then he goes on to give a bit more detail after that. The reason why this has sort of bubbled up is this accusation of being a child groomer has appeared in any conversation around education, books, the various book bans that we talked about, the various changes to child education that we've talked about, this long-standing stereotype that gay men or, by extension, trans men or women are inherently dangerous to children. And I think that that's what this mayor is calling out. He's like, look, you know, this is a library event. Everyone's been triple checked. You know, this is just because you personally disagree with it, you're going to graffiti this property, words related to extreme child exploitation, which is absolutely not what's happening. So I think it really, I wanted to point to this tiny story out of New Zealand, because this mayor really tackled that accusation head on, you know, and we're not really seeing it addressed in much of a direct way elsewhere in the world where these accusations have bubbled up.
I mean, I would like to see education reform, but that's in a very different direction. I would love to see the trivium come back, but
I think it's the modern equivalent of bringing up the Nazis. You know, the idea that you've lost an argument when you reference the Nazis, with the exception now of maybe the neo-Nazis. But yeah,
it's not Hanlon's razor. There's a name for that. I mean, there's reductio ad Hitlerum is one of the names for it. Mm-hmm. But the moment you compare something to the Nazis, you've lost the argument. Which is a pity, because sometimes the Nazis are the best comparison for somebody's actions. But I've gotten some eyebrows raised when someone compared something to the Nazis, and I'm like, well, really, Pol Pot is a better example.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. Likewise, I think that this default of, you know, if it's trans engagement with youth around LGBTQ identities, or if it's access to books, the default being like, oh, child groomer, you know, it is exactly that. It's throwing an extreme ultimatum, because who's going to agree with it? Who's going to say, oh, well, actually, you know, absolutely not. Everyone, with obviously the exception of the folks themselves, is not in favor of child grooming. Like, that's a very reasonable fact. I think all of our listeners can agree. Yes, child grooming, bad. Very bad. Do not do. It's designed to shut down debate. You know, it is designed to shut down discussion.
In general, I mean, it's all just thought terminating cliches. Exactly. I wish, instead of throwing around words, people would actually listen to each other. Because what's happening now is one side says, oh, you're a groomer. The other side says, well, you're just a homophobe. And I kind of wish people would just sit down and say, what are your concerns? What are your motivations? Why are you doing this? Why are you against this? Why are you for this? Like, what is going on really? Because I don't think name calling is going to get anywhere. And there have been people who are saying things like, you know, why are we teaching this in schools when literacy rates are mediocre and most kids don't know how to cook their own food at home or something like that? I find that to be more compelling of like, maybe we should improve the education system overall. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, fair enough. You know, if the numbers are there, I mean, it depends on where you are in the world. Some places they're fine, and other places you read the outputs of the education system, how many people are illiterate, how many people can't do math, how many people can't do their own taxes, that kind of thing. Then, yeah, it's like, okay, fair enough. But I don't know. In general, I just wish people would actually make their arguments clearer, you know, state their case. Why do you believe what you believe? And not just resort to name calling, because I don't know. Maybe you could convince someone. Maybe you could be convinced. I don't know. Just standing behind placards with mean words on them, I don't think that's ever changed anyone's mind, has it? I don't know. Just step up and make your case. That's what I say. On both sides, really, even. Because if someone is calling you a groomer, tell them why you're not. You know, show them why you're not. Make it go away forever. Don't just say, well, you're just homophobic, you're just transphobic, and lob a word at them.
I disagree here, because the issue here is LGBT folks are doing the kind of work that we've been doing for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And if gay men have to prove that they're not groomers, that is an accusation that gay men as a whole have been fighting for absolutely decades. You know, whereas statistically speaking, the vast majority of folks who have been convicted of those crimes are not gay men, and certainly not drag queens. You know, you compare the number of parish priests to the number of drag queens who have been convicted of paedophilia. It's not a very fair comparison. You know, I think it is throwing a firebomb to distract from the many other issues of the day. I don't think it should be on the queer community to defend itself from all of these outrageous accusations just as we are working to make lives a little easier and a little bit more pleasant. Mm-hmm. You know,
I mean, there's a name for this. I can't remember what it is, but it is a fallacy. But anyway, confusing the individual for the group and confusing the group for the individual is very different. If someone is saying that person is a groomer, I'm not going to stand here and say not all gay men are groomers if the accusation is about that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, show me your evidence about that person. If you want to talk about, if somebody comes out and says all gay men are groomers, I'm like, okay, well, now we're going to address the issue about whether or not all gay men are groomers. There have been instances where individual drag queens at Drag Queen Story Hour have been accused. I'm like, well, what is the basis of your accusation? If you're saying all of them are, I'm going to be like, well, no, that's stupid. If you're going to say that one is, then I'm going to be like, you need to provide evidence. You need to provide a reason for saying that. And I'm not going to confuse the part with the whole. If you're going to say that person, I'm just going to say, fine. Okay. That you're accusing that person. I'm not going to defend. Yeah, I'm not going to use not all gay men as a defense if the accusation is about that one person. And there have been times where actually there were people who did generate evidence that maybe not necessarily grooming, but somebody was not the kind of person who normally would pass a security check.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's something that I don't know. I think you just got to be careful with that. I'm not going to make the not all gay men defense if you're talking about individuals. That case in New Zealand, that's not a good example for what I'm talking about, because that kind of was kind of indicating that all the story hours are like that. But I don't know. I think people just need to apply more reason to what they're doing.
Yeah, it is very heated, and it is very emotional language. It is language designed to tap into the deepest levels of disgust that could possibly happen. It's like, this event is so atrocious. These are the worst of the words that we can find to say how atrocious it is. Whereas it's just their personal opinion. You know what I mean? It's absolutely abhorrent. If we,
and it's,
you know, you're more likely to run into that at a scout camp than you are at a drag queen story hour. You know what I mean? It is outrageous. The facts and figures just do not add up.
Also worth pointing out that this is voluntary. This is not like a school-wide event where all the kids in a given school are brought down to the gymnasium to sit on the floor with their legs crossed and watch a drag queen
read a book. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The
no one's holding a gun to your head telling you have to go to a library and then deal with 30 minutes of a sweaty drag queen telling you about two penguins who raised an egg. You know,
all the kids are there with their parents. If you think that the parents are doing a bad thing, talk to the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they're doing it voluntarily, that the parents are there with the kids. If the parents see something they don't like, they're just going to grab their kid and leave. Yeah. I've been at events where people grab their kids and leave. Like, that's if they've made their choice, just leave them.
I think what irritates me the most about all of these accusations against LGBTQ drag story hours and other events is that it fundamentally starts to water down what that accusation really is. You know what I mean? It's like if everything is as bad as the Nazis, for example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then what it means to be as bad as the Nazis becomes watered down. I did want to mention that a 20-year-old has been arrested for aggravated homosexuality. He's now actually being prosecuted. For those who aren't familiar, in Uganda, about 3 months ago, the laws were changed to introduce, among other things, the death penalty for what was coined aggravated homosexuality. They provided a couple of examples. This 21-year-old, the name's not been released, was arrested after having sexual intercourse with a man in his 40s. Apparently, it was unlawful, according to this Ugandan law. They did not demonstrate how it was aggravated. They've not released that information in the charge sheet that was seen by Reuters news agency. This is now the first person to be arrested. Now, Uganda hasn't killed anybody. Well, let me correct that. Uganda hasn't applied the death penalty to anyone in about 20 years. But this law was a recent one to be rolled out. This is the first test case of it. There are about three or four other people who have been arrested on it, but this is the first one that's going to hit the court system, as it were. The gentleman's lawyer is arguing that the entire law is unconstitutional, but it's going to work its way through the courts and through the judges. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up is we were talking about how, you know, very often the expectation of there being a law and then every single officer becoming an overnight expert in how that law is applied is frankly just ridiculous. There are so many laws introduced and changes that we can't expect all police officers to suddenly become experts in every element of the law.
Well, here's a case in point. You said the 21-year-old was arrested?
Yeah.
No report on the 40-year-old?
No.
So how is it aggravated homosexuality for one but not the other?
Exactly.
So, like, either the law is weird or the police didn't know how to apply it or one of them jumped out a window. But, like, there's something very weird about the fact that one person was arrested for something that takes at least two people.
And this is the point I was getting. When we spoke about when this law was being rolled out, it's like, look, you're giving people a tool. And a lot of discretion in how to use it. And the fact is that it opens up the world for abuse by less scrupulous police officials in Uganda. You know, the fact that the call sheet didn't have the what made it aggravated, the fact that this is now the third or fourth person to be arrested, the first one to be prosecuted. Yeah, it's grim. It is grim. There is corporal punishment does remain a thing in Uganda. Given that they haven't put anyone to a death penalty in 20-odd years, I would be surprised if this is the case that's going to bring it back. You know, I think it's more of a deterrent. But, you know, there's something. It's probably not looking particularly great. But, yeah, we've been keeping an eye on it. Now, nearby in Nigeria, I think about 200 people were recently rounded up, of whom I think 67 were arrested. Now, they've been accused of allegedly conducting and attending a same-sex wedding ceremony in Nigeria. Homosexuality in Nigeria is against the law, with punishment of up to 14 years in prison. About 100 people were initially arrested, and I think 67 of them were charged, and then they were marched in front of various news outlets.
Were they arrested in aiding and abetting homosexuality? Like, what were they arrested
in
on?
In a gay wedding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, honestly, on the one hand, I'm like, Nigeria is not known for destination gay weddings. And maybe attending it is a bit of a leap. But also, if it's not legal, then I can't imagine it being I don't imagine there was a priest there and a legal, you know, process and what have you. But yeah, the police came, arrested over 100 people the first time. 67 of them have now been charged. Really, if anything, this is the Nigerian police and the Nigerian state really demonstrating that this is not something that they are going to be tolerating.
Similar story. Well, this is an older story out of Caracas in Venezuela. Now, the incident happened in July 23rd. There was a men's spa, we'll leave it at that, in Caracas, where the police raided it, and 33 men were arrested, and their social media, their names, their ages, and their details were posted on Twitter. And they were arrested, and the owners of the bars, the reason why this story is being reported now is because legal proceedings have started. And one of the complaints that they have is that there are gray market, decriminalized, pseudo-legal brothels in Venezuela. And they were saying that they had filled out these bars, the Avalon Man Spa is what it's called. They had filed all their paperwork. They did everything appropriately. They were in the system. As far as they knew, they were completely legit. Not only that, but facilities like this tend to be above board, like way above board. Like if you need, I don't know, a 6-inch safety railing, they'll give you a 2-foot safety railing just so that the police leave them alone. And there have been complaints, not only the fact that a lot of gay bars are starting to get raided by police in Venezuela, but specifically the way that the men were treated. There are stories like that actually here in Ottawa and where you are in Toronto of from the 80s of gay bars being raided and all the names and numbers and personal details of people being released. So this is pretty concerning. Venezuela has historically been, I don't want to say gay friendly, but like gay legally okay.
Gay legally apathetic.
Yeah. So
legally ambivalent.
Yeah, the human rights of the individual are protected. You can't lose your job. You can't lose your house. This is a weird turn that a lot of people don't know what to do with.
We are just about out of time. I did want to mention that there was a Brazil High Court ruling that found in a 9-1 ruling that hate speech, homophobic hate speech, is on par with racist hate speech in Brazil, really rolling out increased protections. I think there's about 14-year prison sentence for it.
Brazil and Argentina both have good reputations these days.
Absolutely. Well, we have run out of time. We will keep an eye on the world of international LGBTQ stories and here in Canada. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for... Oh,
I forgot what are we playing out with? Happy to Be Here by Siski. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
For the past 2 decades, CJSF 90.1 FM has been the game-changing radio station people have tuned in to listen, share, discuss, and celebrate. From authors, actors, and entertainers to journalists, business leaders, and sports figures, CJSF has welcomed esteemed guests giving you the best in music, news, and spoken word, undoubtedly changing the sound of community radio since 2003. CJSF, diverse, independent, yours.
Yeah, baby, it's 5 o'clock.